Hey, good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour. This is Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson, and you are welcome to call in and be on the program. You can call 850-479-3466, extension 136, and we'll give out that number from time to time throughout the program, and we welcome any calls. Skeptics and scoffers and atheists especially, we welcome you to call. We'd be glad to answer your questions. We're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is one of the dumbest and most dangerous religions in the history of planet Earth. It didn't happen. You were made in God's image, and you're going to answer to God one of these days for everything you've ever said or thought or done. You were created to live eternally, and you will, in heaven or hell, one of the two. So, that's our position, plain and simple, and we defend that against all comers. We believe the Bible is true. The Earth is 6,000 years old. God made the Earth in six literal days. Dinosaurs lived with man. They called them dragons, and Noah took them on the ark. People killed most of them, and there could be a few stragglers still alive, which is why there are sightings like Loch Ness Monster and stuff like that. So I've got a whole stack of questions here, but if you want to get ahead of the pile, here's our sequence. We will take callers first, if they call, and then we'll take AOL Instant Message second. You can AOL Instant Message us at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. And then we'll take email messages third, and I have a giant stack of those here. Try to get to as many as we can. Is that an email or testimony or?
Testimony.
Okay, another testimony. You got a lot of those. We have put out a lot of videotapes in six languages, and we want to get everybody in the world saved. That's the goal. So if you're not a Christian, hey, call in. We can help. We can lead you to the Lord right here on the World Wide Web. We can handle it. Right, John?
Yeah, we're broadcasting live over truthradio.com, so that's where they can pick it up. I guess if they're listening, then they already know that.
Or drdiner.com. They can get there
from our site as well. Tell your friends. How about that? Tell your friends, truthradio.com or drdiner.com.
Sounds great. We'll be glad to have you. Okay, Jackie writes in from Jacqueline Tickie, T-I-C-K-I-E. Now, there's an interesting name. Jackie says, before watching the CSE videos, I was a skeptic, but I finally come to a conclusion. We are here because of the Lord. I'm so happy and grateful for finally feeling the truth and accepting Jesus into my heart that I wanted to help and try to show teenagers what's been hidden and discovered when I ran across the idea of the saber-toothed tiger. If we were meant to be vegetarians, I know about the panda and monkey teeth, but with teeth like those, who can deny they aren't for hunting? And after the flood, we were forced to eat meat. Why would that creature go extinct? I'm sure there's an answer, hoping you'll be able to explain it. Thank you, Jacqueline. Well, Jacqueline, I don't know that the saber-toothed tiger necessarily proves it ate meat. I mean, those kind of teeth would be great for digging up potatoes.
It's also an excellent backup plan. You know, God knew that the fall was going to occur, so why not give us the necessary equipment to live on during that fall?
Sure. Well, you think of how many animals, for instance, elephants use their big, huge tusks. They're mm-hmm. vegetarian for, you know, moving stuff out of the way. Or saber-toothed tiger teeth would be good for, you know, tough vegetables or fruits or, you know.
It's also like a very good visual message saying, don't mess with me. You know, you can talk like different bulls and different kind of animals that have very large horns who are just grazers. They just eat grass.
Right.
But it's a very clear message, don't mess with me.
Yeah, stay off my back. I want to eat the grass. Get out of my way. Sure. So I disagree. I don't think the saber-toothed tiger is a problem for the creationist. But some may, of course. But see, the little problems in the creation theory that, you know, how did this become vegetarian or, you know, carnivorous? Those are minor compared to the evolution theory, mm-hmm. which says we all came from a rock. I mean, you talk about a real genetic bottleneck.
You know, many evolutionists like to bring up these hardcore animals like the saber-toothed tiger, which would appear to be a massive predator. But we could really divert the attention and bring up some of the more softer, gentle animals like the sheep or the lamb. How in the world would those things survive long enough for us to have them today? You know, if we have lambs today, but the saber-toothed tigers are gone, that doesn't seem right. It seems like the saber-toothed tiger. Yeah, it seems like the saber-toothed tiger would still be around kicking and stuff today, but the lamb would have been long gone.
Right, and possums. One of the dumbest animals on God's green earth. Why are they still around? And proliferating.
Yep.
Okay. Somebody asked me if I knew what a possum was. I said, well, I think so. He said, it's a large, flat animal that lives in the middle of the highway. We got them all over here in Florida. An armadillo is a possum on a half shell. Okay. Eric Kruger writes in, my wife and I enjoyed your seminar series. It's good to know there are so much scientific evidence to support the Bible. Your seminar gave me the confidence to, when the situation arises, defend the Bible from a scientific point of view. May God bless you and your family and your calling, and may you keep on spreading the truth so it can lead more people to Christ. Well, thank you, Eric. Appreciate that. Amen. And let's see, this one from Amy Pigeon. Hello, in the Navy here. Just wanted to relate to you how wonderful I think your website is. I just looked it up today. A friend told me about it. So I haven't even made through half of it, but I was impressed so far. I don't know enough to debate with people who believe in evolution, so the info I found on your website will be helpful. Thank you. Keep up the good work. God bless. Amy. All right, Amy, and one more testimony, then we'll get to your questions here. AOL Instant Message is Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. And yesterday we had Carl Merrychurch the whole hour on the program.
Yeah.
That was great. Carl, we appreciate you calling in. If you're still listening over there in Australia, you're welcome to call in anytime. I know you believe in evolution, and you've got an anti-Hovind website, which I have right in front of me, called geocities.com/Kent Hovind, analysis of Kent Hovind. And he's got an article, a liar, liar. He calls me a liar in here because I'm telling 9 different lies, and I think I can defend myself on any of those. So, and let's see, what's the other articles on his website about Kent Hovind?
Which a lot of his website was discussed in the December rebuttal, basically, when you countered a lot of the claims made by many of the anti-Hovind websites.
Right.
Which is Answering the Critics. That's a 4-DVD set that they can buy right on drdunner.com.
Isn't the audio of that available on the website, too?
It's available. It was. Now, we're actually revamping the entire audio section, so that one's going to do some changes.
But Dr. Hovind Answers His Critics, available on DVD or VHS.
Mm-hmm.
And, Carl, you're in there. And I think pretty thoroughly answered. Now, if you want to believe you come from Iraq, that's just fine. I know those Australians believe a few strange things, but that's okay. We can help if you want to call in. Susan...
The audio is on the website.
Audio is on the website. Okay. Susan Furler, F-U-R-L-E-R, writes in. Dr. Hovind, this week I've been watching your videotape series, Creation Science Evangelism. I am stunned at the material you have in the series. You are so thorough, informative, and interesting. Many things that I have read in the Bible and did not understand make more sense now because of the knowledge I gained from your series. I have 2 teenagers in high school, and they have also been very interested in the series. We are Christians and do not believe in evolution. The information in your series is incredibly helpful, equipping us with educated responses when countering teachers and other individuals. Well, good. Thank you so much, Susan. Appreciate the testimony there.
It's amazing how this material actually motivates people to learn. You know, the Bible strongly encourages Christians to study to show themselves approved. It strongly encourages us to read and, you know, actually learn His Word. I remember in high school, when I would go through a textbook, I would just stare at the page like a monkey doing a math problem because I had no motivation, no interest in many of the subjects. I would read something in one ear, you know, out the other whenever I'm listening. But the creation, it's like creation motivation. You know, it really it really makes you want to get into the Word and study it. So it's awesome.
I think the evolution theory is a large culprit, a large percentage of the problem in the dumbing down of America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get these brilliant kids and put them in class and say, okay, now you came from a rock. We'll start from there. Okay, then why should we study anything, you know?
Yeah.
There's no meaning to life. There's no purpose to life. Let's just stop right there instead of start right there.
Rock on, kids.
Rock on. Here we go. this one from Justin Burdeen. If a person asks Jesus into their heart over and over again because they don't think they're saved, will they go to heaven? Yes, Justin. If you came to my house and knocked on the door and I said, Justin, come on in, have a seat. And you came in and sat down, and then you said, hey, Mr. Hovind, can I come in? I'd say, sure, Justin, you're already in. And then 5 minutes later, hey, Mr. Hovind, can I come in? Yes, Justin, you can come in. Actually, you're already in. Okay. you can ask me as many times as you want, but you're already in. Okay. What you're showing there is your doubt, not your faith. God promised He would save those that would ask, and so it's a matter of, did you ask Him? Did He promise? And are His promises any good? Now, I think that there's a matter of repentance involved here, repentance and then faith. First, a lot of people, you know, say there's no magic prayer. You can teach a parrot how to pray. That doesn't mean a thing. Or a tape recorder, you know. Mm-hmm. They can't ask Jesus into their heart, even though it says those words. So it's a matter of repentance and faith and trusting Christ. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. So I know the feeling, though, Justin. I used to go down every service at church and ask the Lord to save me again for about 4 months. Finally, my preacher said, what are you doing? I said, I just want to be sure. I just want to be sure, sure, sure. He said, well, did God promise? I said, yeah. He said, are you calling God a liar? I said, well, I guess I am. He said, well, knock it off. Okay, He promised He'd save you. Now trust Him at His word.
It's usually their fellowship with God that's actually being hurt there and not their salvation from Him. You know, a lot of people, we are saved. And once we ask Christ to save us, He saves us. But there's still the fellowship. You know, I could go out tomorrow and just start drinking and bar hopping, and I will absolutely destroy my fellowship with the Father. But does that mean I'm not saved? I don't think it does, because then it means I have to do good works to remain saved.
Mm-hmm.
So it is our fellowship that we can hurt, though.
Right. You get born once into a family, and then your fellowship with your parents depends upon your daily actions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents aren't going to kill you. They may, you know, punish you or chastise you or sometimes wish they could kill you. But
yeah.
Okay. Here's one from, now this is a strange first name, G-Y-A-S-I, Gyasa. Gyasa Talbot writes in, I showed my friend the second part of your seminar, The Garden of Eden, Part 2, today. In the beginning, I had to tell him a few times to think past the God part and listen to the science behind what you say. So many people get hung up on the former that they never stick around to see the latter. He really liked it. All of the fully sourced and bibliographed material that you presented, along with the scriptural background that you laid out, really strengthened my knowledge and belief in God. And Brian, before the seminar started, we had a talk about he didn't like to believe in a God that unconditionally loves, but at the same time, eternally punishing or sending them south of heaven. But after the video, I have without a doubt that he's closer to seeing things my way, that God is the parent of the human race. He loves us, but like children that misbehave, he must punish us. Because living in a world without rules is a world with without repercussions, spoiled freedom, Sodom and Gomorrah. Children that are not punished with all that wild freedom spoil, Gaiasa says. Continuing, I've already seen the Garden of Eden lecture a few times, and I'll see it a million more. Please, please make your Hope and Theory seminar available online again. I only saw it once, and I loved it. It's heavy. I've been looking into archaeological anomalies, ancient civilizations, ancient stone monoliths, Atlantis, Lemuria, global conspiracies, and whatnot for 6 years now. I knew they were all connected, but I didn't have that when I first saw the Hovind theory in action. Everything clicked together. Everything. Now I see who and what and where and when and how and why, and it's frightening. Show me more. Thanks for reminding us of a global Eden. Okay. Gyasa, thank you so much. We have our seminar series is $99 for the whole thing, available on VHS or DVD. We had all of it online for quite a while. We have now taken off all but except part one and two.
The video format.
The video format. You can still listen to it. The audio is still there on MP3.
The MP3s are still online, yes, sir.
Right.
We're actually going to be adding a couple more mirror sites. Many people are having problems downloading our MP3s because of the excessive, you know, traffic that we're getting from the website. So we're going to add a couple more mirror sites to break that problem.
Anyway, so it's a matter of traffic flow and economics, I guess. People watch two, and they should buy the rest if they want to see the whole series. We have poured about $1 million into that. So, okay, call us, folks. We'll be back after the break. Hang in there. All right, folks, welcome back to the second segment of the Creation Science Hour. If you want to call in, you're going to have to dial the extension after you dial the number because you will get our answering machine. You don't need to wait till they quit talking. You can just simply hit 136, and that'll go straight to Jonathan sitting right here at the switchboard and put you on the program. So, Jonathan, now you get to be secretary also.
Yeah.
So it does not involve a race.
Secretary, programmer, artist,
man.
Prayer warrior, missionary.
Multitasking.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It's a privilege.
Privilege. Amen. So call the regular phone number, 850-479-DINO, or toll free, and we'll pay for the call, 877-479-DINO, and then extension 136. Here we go. Eric writes in. Does Eric have a last name here? Nope. Just Eric. E-R-I-K. Says, hey, I've been discussing creation and evolution with some people on the internet for many months now, and no matter what I say, I always seem to come out as a fool. I've tried to use a lot of your material versus evolution, but they always seem to know more and make me look like a religious fool. They make the Bible look stupid and evolution look good. One of their latest comments was about the historical accuracy of the Old Testament. Their comment is as follows, quote, seeking to separate history from legend, the authors share the most recent archaeological insights, still largely unknown outside scholarly circles, not only on when, but also why the Bible was written. Discoveries which have revolutionized the study of early Israel and have cast serious doubt on the historical basis of such famous biblical stories as the wanderings of the patriarchs, the exodus from Egypt, the conquest of Canaan, and the glorious empire of David and Solomon, page 3. The Bible Unearthed is the name of the book, apparently, discusses in some detail the evidence behind these claims and shows why, although no archaeologist can deny the Bible contains legends, characters, and story fragments that reach far back in time, archaeology can show that the Torah and the Deuteronomy history bear unmistakable hallmarks of their initial compilation in the 7th century B.C. Oh, now, hold on. There's more, Eric. Wait, let me just stop right here. The critics are saying the Bible was written in 700 B.C. as opposed to, you know, with Moses much earlier than that, 1500 B.C. They're simply lying, okay? They show the Bible shows, it shows unmistakable hallmarks of being compiled in the 7th century. The reason they say that is because it made so many prophecies that proved to be true.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, well, that can't be prophecies coming true. They must have already, this must be historical. And they're saying, I predict Abe Lincoln will be president, you know, in 1861. Okay, well, he was. So that's one of their gripes. Now, there's a lot of people, so the Bible is the anvil that's worn out many hammers.
Well, basically because these people have a, you know, presupposition that God is not real, materialism is all there is, everything's naturalistic, prophecy is not real, there's nothing supernatural, so they automatically have to make everything fit in their little materialistic box.
Right.
So if prophecy comes up, they're like, oh, well, it's got to be written after the event.
Can't be true.
So
your critics here, Eric, tell them to give me a call or contact probably wyattmuseum.com. They have a lot of stuff on biblical archaeology supporting the Bible.
Got a book right here.
Tell them a little bit about that, Jonathan.
I don't know a thing about it. It's a beautiful book.
Okay.
It's apparently covering many of Ron Wyatt's stuff, which they can also see a lot of Ron Wyatt's stuff on wyattmuseum.com. Ron apparently passed away in
99.
Brilliant guy. Did a lot of awesome work in archaeologically. He apparently claims to have found the Ark of the Covenant. Noah's Ark, which there's some controversy over both of those, but you apparently knew him personally.
Personally. He found the place where Joseph made the big storage bins to store the corn to feed Egypt for 7 years. They're still there. The bins are still there. It's huge. I mean, monstrous things. Really ingenious the way they built them, too. Ron found probably 8 major archaeological finds mentioned in the Bible. The critics of Ron Wyatt say, oh, well, how can one man find so many things? I say, well, first of all, he did a lot of digging over there. How much time have you spent over there? They say, none. Okay, well, then automatically he's more likely to find it than you. Okay.
Yeah.
Secondly, he's the kind of guy, if I was God, he's the kind of guy I would let find those things because he wasn't looking for glory. He wasn't looking to get rich. He just wanted to honor the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I disagreed with him on several theological things, okay? He's now, since he's been in heaven, an independent Baptist, because that's the only one there is up there to join. So, he knows better now on a few things. But he is a great guy, loved the Lord. I wouldn't doubt his salvation for a minute.
Now, their museum is actually in Tennessee.
Cornersville, Tennessee.
So anybody near there, they could check that out. I guess, who's the guy running it now?
Richard Reeves.
Richard Reeves.
Good guy, friend of mine, been here a couple times to our park. I've been up there several times. They converted a gas station right on Interstate 65. South of Nashville, about 60 miles, is of the town of Cornersville. It's exit 27. You get off on exit 27, and just right there, within 20 yards, there's an old converted gas station that's a pretty cool museum about the discoveries. And this book is really awesome. It's like, how much? $75 for the book. I called about it yesterday to see if we should carry it. I said, oh, I don't want to carry it. I mean, it's all color pictures. It's incredible. What's the name of it? How did they get a hold of that?
Let's see. It's called The Exodus Case. And
you can get it right from WyattMuseum.com.
Probably get it at WyattMuseum.com. So it's just a compilation that has the Red Sea crossing, Mount Sinai, chariot wheels in the Red Sea. That's pretty awesome. A skeleton, parts of a Pharaoh's army. Amazing stuff.
Whole army still down there.
Mm-hmm.
Coral growing all over them now.
We've got pictures in our museum, which looks amazing. I actually walked through the museum today, the West Wing and the East Wing. It's just awesome in there. It is so cool. People need to come and check that out.
Yep. Our Creation Museum and our Science Center. Come on down, folks, to Dinosaur Adventureland. We had a bunch of folks here today. And, boy, was it hot. Woo, Florida, about 90 degrees and 90% humidity. It was a good day to sweat. Okay, here's one from Brian Fagan, F-A-G-A-N, writes in. Other than miracles, how could the first two people account for all of the genetic trait diversity in the world? there may be more genetic traits than two people can hold. Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, I was reading this yesterday, actually. Traits aren't inherited. That's like Lamarckian evolution, thinking that if your thumb gets chopped off, then your offspring won't have a thumb. So it's not actually traits, it's genetics. And actually, you can have many different genetic features in your genes that aren't even emphasized. For example, it's clearly known that speciation, or, we'll have to be careful with that term, does occur because it's a downward fall, not an upward. There's no new information being introduced into the genome. It's just a mixing of present information and losing information. So things can change. They can actually have a lot of variability within the genetic variation. So.
Sure. I mean, one couple can produce 8, 10, 15 kids, and they're all as different as night and day.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was. Someone was actually saying how many – they had actually equated how many different variants you could have in your offspring. And I'm kind of hesitant to, give a figure because I know some evolutionists out there be like, ooh, I got to get him on this. He's a liar. But it's like 278 billion or something. It's so huge. You could have so many kids and none of them would be alike.
Right.
None of them would be identical like that. It's just amazing the variation that we have today.
Mm-hmm. So, plus when you consider the gene code, if you took one DNA strand from every person on planet Earth, in theory, that contains the information for the entire person,
mm-hmm.
how to make their hair, their eyes, their ears, everything, okay? Contained in each DNA strand, okay? All 6 billion of those DNA strands would not quite fill 2 aspirins. So with 2 aspirins worth of material, you could reconstruct the entire human race. That's the DNA code.
Even at looking on other genetic level deals, we can see in 1998, Professor Ann Gibbons did a work on the mitochondrial clock, which is mitochondrial DNA passed down from woman to woman to woman, and that actually showed that all women came from one woman. So that, is kind of reverse inference there, showing that, well, they all did come from one woman. They did work on the Y chromosome in males and found that 2 different lineages came from one man, which is just exactly what the Bible said happened. So,
mm-hmm. Adam. Yeah.
Testable scientific evidence does show that we all came from 2 people. Their names.
Sandy's here visiting from Washington. You worked programming for Microsoft for many, many years. Can you imagine the code it would take to put all of the genetic information to build all of the humans in the planet into a processor, I guess for lack of a better word? What would it take? What would you consider the DNA equivalent to in the computer? The DNA stores the information. Would that be the hard drive? Or?
Yeah, the amount of information in the DNA, you could just calculate the bit number of bits in there. And I remember seeing an information theory book that had like 10 to the 26th bits or something of information in the DNA code. So.
And what size computer would it take to hold that?
I don't know. I would say several terabytes of storage.
So yeah.
The Human Genome Project is already underway, and it's distributed all over the world, and people working on it all the time, and filling their computer up with a little piece of it and analyzing that all the time. I talked to a guy in the airport one time, and he was working on that and showed me what he did, and they just keep trying to discover new things in the code and find patterns. So there's thousands of people working on it in parallel, distributed. I don't know if it's in one place.
See, they're still just trying to decipher the code. That still has nothing to do with how the code got there.
Right.
They're still reading the code. And yet they're still believing the code came about by chance. And it's taking millions and millions of computer hours to analyze it, let alone to make it. I mean, how can they possibly believe this happened by chance? Yeah. Blows my mind.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was holographic in nature, too. The way God builds things would be.
That would be cool, wouldn't it? If
it's
the whole DNA code is also holographic. Wow. How could you explain that in terms where a fourth grader could understand it, or couldn't it be done?
You put 4 dimensions into 3 dimensions, something like that. That's how I would say it. You fold it and look at it a certain way, and you see more information.
Because of the folding of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We shall see. We're going to get to heaven and say, wow, when God lets us understand all the stuff that we missed out here. Okay, here's one from Ilmar, V-A-R-J-U-N, Barjan, must be Russian, Ilmar. He writes in, Dr. Oven, thank you for your seminar tapes. They've greatly strengthened my faith and given me word power in the topic. Nevertheless, I still have a question concerning your seminar. In your Q&A video, you mentioned the Holy Book. I couldn't think of any other way to express it. And sorry for not remembering the name of Judaism, which was a part from the Old Testament. If they're both part both from the Jews, then why is the Old Testament, why is only the Old Testament part of the Bible? Thank you for your trouble. May the Lord bless your ministry. Ilion from Estonia, Eastern Europe. Okay, well, that was Russian-sounding name from Estonia. Okay, why is the only the Old Testament part of the Bible? Well, it's not. Actually, the Bible is both the Old and the New Testament. But the Jews would accept the Old Testament, which they would call the Torah. Now, do not confuse that with the Talmud. Boy, what a major difference that would be. The Torah is basically the equivalent of the Old Testament, the time before Christ came. And the Jews, of course, many do not accept Jesus as the Messiah, and so they stop right there. Thomas Jefferson accepted the veracity of Jesus Christ, except he didn't accept the miracles. So his Jefferson Bible, have you ever seen that, the Jefferson Bible? He didn't believe in any miracles. So it stops, the last sentence in the Bible, I've got it here someplace, says Jesus died and was buried. And it ends right there.
So what about all the miracles up until that point? Because he did plenty of miracles.
He left out the miracles. If you read the Gospels in the Jefferson Bible, it leaves them out. It just stops with, I'm in the library now looking for it here, where all my Bibles are. It doesn't matter, I guess, but you can trust me. And I'll go check. If you don't trust me, go check out a Jefferson Bible and you'll see for yourself. Stops with Jesus died and was buried. End of story. Didn't believe in the resurrection. I don't see it. It's a red paperback book, Jonathan. If you ever see it in here, no hurry, but the Jefferson Bible. I got pictures of it on, I think, video number one. It's a little paperback. It's not very big because he only had part of the New Testament, you know, four books. I'd say it's about that size, maybe a little thicker. Okay, well, doesn't matter. Okay, let's take the next question. If you guys want to find that, that'd be great. Here's one from Vince Conn, C-O-N-N. Here's something I saw in the news, Vince says. Just wanted to see what you thought about it. Here's the quote. United Nations, Associated Press. The world is turning to dust, with lands the size of Rhode Island becoming desert wasteland every year, and the problem threatening to send millions of people fleeing to greener countries, the United Nations says. One-third of the Earth's surface is at risk, driving people into cities and destroying agriculture in vast swaths of Africa. 31% of Spain is threatened, while Chile has lost 36,000 square miles to desert, an area the size of India since the 1950s. Indiana, I'm sorry. Huh. Yeah, okay. This week, the United Nations marks the 10th anniversary of the Convention to Combat Desertification, a plan aimed at stopping the phenomena. Despite the efforts, the trend seems to be picking up speed, doubling its pace since the 70s. It's a creeping catastrophe, said Michael Smitall, a spokesman for the UN Secretary that oversees the 1994 Accord. Entire parts of the Earth might become uninhabitable. Slash-and-burn agriculture, sloppy conservation, overtaxed water supplies, and soaring populations are mostly to blame, but global warming is taking its toll, too. Okay, and that's the end of the news story. Well, Vince, yeah, I think it probably is happening. I think it's predicted in the Bible that there's going to be, you know, plagues and pestilence and famine in the last days. And we're certainly, you know, seeing some of the forerunners of that now. But can you stop it? Well, yeah, there's a lot of things. What basically it boils down to in the mind of some people, though, is we need more government intervention. You know, call Uncle Sam. He can fix it. That would be, I would put up red flags right there and say, wait a minute, wait, let's stop. Let's keep Uncle Sam out of this. Let's get private property ownership is probably the solution to the problem. Another long story. We cover that in video 5. Okay, Bill Buckingham writes in, I just got my first set of CSE 101 videos. I was hoping for DVD format. Any plans to release DVD? I travel for a living, and my laptop is much more reliable than the hotel VCR. Yes, Bill. Actually, they are working on converting all of the seminar. You found it, the Jefferson Bible. Hey, thank you, brother. The seminar college classes should all be converted to DVD. Don't know when, but it's on the list. Here we go. Last sentence in the Jefferson Bible. They took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden was a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, and rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre, and departed. End of Bible.
Game over, man.
Didn't believe in the resurrection. Oh, well. He does now. But he died 200 and about 200. No, probably more than that. Yeah, 200 years ago, maybe. Almost. Okay, here's one from Javier Cedinho de Paqueso. P-A-C-H. You speak Portuguese, Jonathan. P-A-C-H-E-C-O. Any pronunciation on that last name?
Sí. Javier Cedinho de Paqueso.
Paqueso.
Yeah.
Okay, Paqueso, hang in there. We'll be back after the break and take your questions here. Hang in there, folks. Tell your friends to tune into the program. All right, folks, welcome back to the final segment of the Creation Science Hour. Javier has written to us to say, by the way, if you want to be on the program, you can AOL instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive, or, let's see, Carl Mary Church in Australia. If you want to get some particular questions answered, yesterday you called from Australia and talked for an hour. I appreciate that. It probably cost about $20 to do that, or Australian, probably $50. But you can just AOL instant message us one question at a time. Pick one topic off your site, and we will discuss it if you'd like. We'll be glad to help set you straight that God made the world in 6 days. The evolution theory is dumb, didn't happen, and you need to be saved if you're not. So I don't know if you are or aren't. I suspect from what I've read on your website you are not, because even if you believe in God, you have the wrong God, kind of like Osama bin Laden does, but that's okay. Javier writes in, I want to know about creation. Theory, evolution. This is from apparently someone who's Spanish, not English. Let's see. I want to know about creation theory, evolution, wrongs in the Bible, about religious orients, etc. on the mirror. The Bible in Spanish, please. My English is so-so. Hey, your English is much better than my Spanish, Javier. Javier, we have three of my videotapes done in Spanish. None of those are on the website, though. They can listen to them on the website, can they? Okay. But if you want to contact us, go to our website, drdino.com, and you can order the Spanish tapes. Also, if you go to creationism.org, I believe Paul Abramson has many, many articles done in Spanish on his website. If you want to check that out, that would be the best for you, Javier. And thank you for writing to us. Here's Raymond who writes in. Oh, hang on. AOL instant message first. Let me take that one. Flamcheesy. That's an interesting name. Says, what resources are recommended for the topic of hyperbaric research? Jonathan, isn't there a section on our website, hyperbaric links to hyperbaric chamber stuff?
I'm not quite sure if it's specific to hyperbaric chambers, but we do have many links, you know, to relevant things like this.
I cover quite a bit of this on videotape number 2. I'm just looking up here to see. It's in Seminar 2A. I opened up the wrong one. It'll take a minute. Or Seminar 2B. If you go to Seminar Part 2 of my series, which you can watch right online, and you watch Part A, we talk quite a bit about hyperbarics, and I have quite a few links on there for more information. I'm getting there right now. Praise God for PowerPoint and hyperlinks. You work at Microsoft, they do the hyperlinks and PowerPoint and all that stuff. And
yeah.
You program that stuff, do you? Or
I didn't program
that. You didn't do that one? Okay. But you could.
Yeah.
You could. Okay, good. Here's one. Hyperbaric1 at earthlink.net is a, that'd be an email. Here's one. Hyperbaric.com, H-Y-P-E-R-B-A-R-I-C. Here's another one. www.hochealth, which stands for Hyperbaric Oxygen Chamber, H-O-C Health, H-E-A. LTH.com. They've got a chamber in Vancouver, British Columbia, and it's pretty cheap, actually, $50 an hour to go in the chamber to be pressurized with pure oxygen to help a lot of things. So those links, I know, are at least on my seminar part 2, and hopefully that'll help. If you want more, let's see. Oh, wait a minute. The hyperbaric chamber that I was in is in, well, Carl Ball has three of the chambers in creationevidence.org. He has quite a bit of information on them. As does, let's see, the one I was in Portland, Oregon. You'd want to call Ron Lowell, L-O-W-E-L-L, for more information on that, at 541-387-5441. He can give you details on hyperbaric chambers. He has one there in Oregon. About $250,000, one of those chambers. Not the kind of thing you just carry around with you. Okay, Raymond writes in, I'm a civil engineering student studying in South Africa. I'm a Christian and have the last few years been getting involved in a simple level in the creation evolution Big Bang debate. I believe in the literal six-day creation and don't believe any part of evolution or Big Bang theory. I have many friends, however, who do and are good Christian brothers, theistic evolutionists and Big Bang believers. My question is, how important is it to believe in what I believe and what you teach? Our church never mentions it, and in the picture of evangelism in the Great Commission, how important is it that we take such a stand when good Christians are not taking such a stand? Is it that critical? I feel that our worldview is vital, and what the Bible seems to teach is vital, but how important is it to believe things as they are portrayed? And how do we handle people who believe in evolution, Big Bang, or both? Thanks for your excellent website and resources, Raymond. Well, Raymond, if somebody says they believe in God, what do they mean by that? Osama bin Laden believes in God. So does Saddam Hussein. Are they talking about the same God? You know, just because they say they believe in God and they believe in creation, I would say, well, wait a minute now. Do you believe in a God that created a world that had suffering and death in it before man came on the scene? Really, a key question to ask them is, why is there death and suffering in the world? Why is there death here? Is it because that was God's plan? Does he like it? Does he want it? Is it God wanted the lion, tear, and the zebra apart for lunch?
I remember you had a recent debate with a guy named Jamin, and he actually said that's a good thing. He said you had posed that question to him, is it good? You know, God said that the creation was very good. You said, is it good for the lion to rip apart the zebra? And Jamin said, well, yeah. You know, according to God, I guess it is. So, and he's going from an old earth creationist view like Hugh Ross subscribes to.
I doubt the zebra likes it.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it good. I mean, no. You know, I'm not God, but I don't think he would either. He's a loving God.
So. Yeah. And so the whole world full of today, Romans 8, we're full of death and suffering, and, you know, the whole creation travaileth in pain, groaning to be delivered. You know, the Bible talks about God restoring things back like they used to be when the lion eats straw like the ox. Well, if we're going to be restored like the original creation, then maybe the lion originally ate straw like the ox.
Now, some people would find it incredibly hard to believe that a lion would be a herbivore. Do we have anything like that in recent history? Any cases similar?
We do. There's, I don't know what they named the lion, but there was a lion that would never eat meat, refused to eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
There's an article on answersingenesis.org about that. It was a movie. The lion was used in movies for years. I can get the actual article, I think. Take me just a second. I don't know if I can find it now. But in the time we have permitting, I have only 6,000 slides in my PowerPoint. But let's see. Meat eating. Aha, there we go. Seminar Part 2B. If you watch Seminar 2B on the website, you will not see this new slide because I added it in the last couple of months after the seminar was already videotaped and put online. Oh, let's see. Calm.
It was actually in a Creation Ex Nihilo 22 March and May 2000. So, written article by David Catchpool.
March, May 2000. I got to add that here to my seminar because I don't have it in here. Yeah, that's what I was going to look up as a reference here. March to May. It goes every 3 months.
I believe the lion's name is Little Tyke.
That's it. Little Tyke. I remember that now. There you go. It was used in the movies. Do you have the whole article there, Jonathan?
Yeah, I certainly do. It's right here. It's called the lion that wouldn't eat meat.
Yep. I got just a picture of it in front of me here, of the cover of the article. Okay. So, yeah, I think. What was the question there? I already put it away. South African student wondering about are they talking about the same God? I don't think that a person who believes the Earth is billions of years old is really talking about the same God, because they have death before sin. They have a God that made a world with suffering and death and called it very good. So, okay. I guess I'd have to say I wouldn't trust my salvation to theirs. I don't know who's saved and who isn't, okay? But if they are, great, you know. Yeah, there's the link. Okay. Creation Magazine. Excellent magazine, by the way. Also, John, did we get the link fixed for ours to go to Creation Illustrated magazine?
I'm actually waiting for Tom Ish, I guess he's the main editor, waiting for him to approve of it, and then we are putting it up. He's actually on his way back from Denver, Colorado, so.
Okay. Because there's Creation Magazine, which is very good, and then Creation Illustrated magazine, which is also very good. It's You can sign up for that right on our website. It's, I'm going to guess, $20 a year, I think. Either one's about $20 or $22 a year. If you want to get one of those, I'd recommend them both. Okay, let's see. We've got a few minutes left. Let's hurry. Laura Rogers writes in, Grace and Peace, could you tell me when your 7-tape video series was updated most recently? We have copies of the 99 series, and we love them. I was thinking of getting new ones for my husband's birthday if the Clinton jokes have been removed. Laura, I don't think the Clinton jokes have been removed. They are so fun to tell.
They add substance to them.
They add substance. However, Laura, you are welcome to edit out any part that you don't like of our debate, I mean of our seminar series. That's always been our policy. You know, eat the meat, spit out the bones. If you don't like something, as you make a copy of it, just hit pause on the copying receiving deck until it's over with, and then hit pause again, and it'll go back to recording. So, yeah, we've retaped twice, actually, since 99. I think 2001 and the 2003 video series is available. Lots and lots of new stuff. Okay, here's Audrey writes in. Hi, folks. Thanks for your great ministry. Together with a sweet couple, we have given your seminar series to dozens of people. But I have a question. Let me summarize the question here. Do you have any information you could pass on by way of Lucent Technologies? Did you say that their physical address is 666-something? I did, Audrey, and I don't know that I could prove that. That was told me by somebody else, and I probably shouldn't have mentioned it in the seminar without checking it out. But somebody told me that and showed me a picture of the building. 666, I don't know, something in New York, was the address for one of the big companies, which is, I mean, a lot of people have address of 666. Nothing evil about that.
John Gusty, our sculptor here on staff, who actually ate at Casa del Sol, the Mexican restaurant across the street, today his check was 666. I told him it was against his religious convictions to pay for that, so...
Wow.
I didn't think he'd get by with it, though.
The Mexican restaurant, $6.66.
Yeah, don't get a number two with bean and refried beans.
Don't order number two and sweet tea. Okay. Get something else. Okay. Let's see. It says, Audrey writes, I gave that information to a young man that's heavily into stocks, and he researched it and is under the impression that Lucent is a good organization. Again, do you have any leads for me that I could research this and warn him of the danger, if there is any? I don't know that I could say there's a danger in Lucent Technologies. There may or may not be. I'll tell you, a guy who gets a lot of information on that is Tex Mars. You might want to go to conspiracyworld.com. He would have a lot more stuff than I would on that. But be sure to verify everything. There certainly are companies run by people who do worship the devil. That's not a secret. A lot of Hollywood movie stars worship the Satan. You know, Luciferians, they would call themselves. There's a, who's the girl that called here? She on the radio program that said she was a Wiccan? Did you have her?
I know we had a girl that came and visited once. She was a Wiccan, and she really was hardcore into Wicca. But your videos made a lot of sense and really delivered her from that. And she was able to witness to another girl that had contacted us and is kind of involved with Wicca. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's companies run by the devil, by the devil's followers. So, I guess, so what? You know, they're on the losing team. God's going to win in the long run. Okay, here we go. Dear CSE from Reginald Vanden Bosch. Dear CSE, do you have any videos that do not speak of persons that drink in such terms as Bud Dummer, etc.? I wish to show these to some of my non-believer friends, but feel that even though it's true, it is not telling the truth in love, and that ultimately it will do more to drive them from the faith and bring them to it. Regards, Reggie. But yes, Reggie, I do mention the Bud Dummer, Miller Low Life, and Dead Dog. It's a joke. I mean, it does ruin a lot of people's lives, and a lot of drunks kill people on the highway, which wrecks other families. But, again, you're welcome to edit out that stuff. My debates don't mention those things. If you want to get the debates where they see the creation side and the evolution side, there are now 20 of them available on DVD or VHS, and you can watch those right, one of them, number 20, I think, right online with Michael Shermer. Okay, Jonathan, how much time we got left here? About zero. Okay, time's up, folks. Tune in again Monday. Tell your atheist and skeptic friends to call in. We'll see you then. Thanks a lot. Go to church this weekend. Bye-bye.